The Missouri Senate Interim Committee on Education is holding a hearing Monday to study the state's public education system and make some recommendations regarding transparency, accountability, and efficiency in advance of the next legislative session. State Senator Carla Esslinger from Southern Missouri's Wasola is chairing the committee. She joins the show today. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to kick this off by having you give our Show Me Today audience your background in education so they have a feel for your expertise.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you, Elisa, for giving me a little bit of time to talk about this very, very important subject, and that's education for our kids. My background, I started out, went to College of the Ozarks, and graduated from there over in Branson, Missouri, in the southern part of the state. I've always lived in the rural, well, at least my high school years and my adult years lived in the rural part of the state, the southern part of our state. I started as a teacher, first and second grade teacher. I had I had two rows of first graders and two rows of second graders. So I had a multi-grade classroom before it was even kind of a neat thing to do. So started there, taught in that little bitty school in Theodosia, Missouri called Ludi School on the banks of Bull Shoals Lake down here in Ozark County. Continued working with children and teaching various grade levels. Picked up a few degrees. I did my master's and my specialist degree at Missouri State University, and I became a building level principal. I served Gainesville as well as Ava, had a real interest in curriculum and assessment and having a sense of what is it that we need to be able to make sure that our kids know and can do. And then I went into central office administration. I picked up my doctorate out of MU, and I became a superintendent of schools in Ava, Missouri, and then I went on to West Plains and served as their superintendent. And out of West Plains is where I actually retired from, like, the regular K-12 public education system. Then I, you know, some folks called me from Jefferson City and asked me to come up. So I served as the assistant or associate commissioner for teacher quality for the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Once I retired there again, then I got a call from DC, ended up working with the U.S. Department of Education. Did a lot of work with a lot of those Race to Top district grants and state grants. Worked with personalized education, worked with incorporating technology into instruction. I've always just been, Elisa, I'm a school lady, but I have a great interest in what we do in our state when it comes to economic development, workforce, career tech ed. All of those things wrap up together that we've got to make sure that we have a solid K-12 system.
Wow, you have been around. You have quite the background. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's you know, I just was very fortunate. I had great people to work with. And, you know, I love to learn. I love to find out new things and see what else I can do to be of service, not only to children, but obviously to the communities and the families within those rural areas. And now I've actually branched out and doing a little work in some urban areas as well, especially with my work with the U.S. Department of Ed, because I was able to work with some of our biggest systems in the nation. I worked with Houston ISD. I worked with L.A., Los Angeles Public School System, Boston, some pretty big systems, and then some little bitty systems on little Indian reservations as well. I've just been very blessed to have this opportunity to see so many aspects of how you can provide quality programs for children.
Yeah, I would say so. That's incredible. Well, so there's this hearing on Monday, and it's the first one that's kicking off. And I'm just trying to get a little bit of information before the hearing. And so talk to me a little bit about what inspired this committee to be formed.
Well, there's two or three things that kind of come together, and it just seemed like a good time for us to sit down and really kind of look to see what it is that we're looking at, what we're measuring, what the process is on how we accredit our public systems. You've noticed that there are so many people who have a real concern about the quality of schools that we currently have available to our kids. And this idea that public education is not hitting the mark or that it's kind of got a black eye. And I think that perspective is because of just this not having the opportunity to really see whether or not we're getting the job done as far as whether or not public schools are getting the job done. And public schools, when I talk about public schools, I really mean just whatever program kids have available to them, whether it's a charter school or whether it's a magnet school, whether it's a public school. I work with all of those kinds of delivery systems. And so when I think about public education, I think about all that are tax funded in some way. So one thing that came to mind is that as I became part of the legislation, I noticed that there was just this sense of they're not getting the job done. Let's do something else. Let's take these dollars and put them over in this program or take that program and put it, you know, whatever. And I think the base of all of this needs to be where Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, their way of saying this program is good and this district should be accredited, that should be a transparent, they should be accountable and have some teeth in it. Like if you're not doing the job, what happens to your funding? And then I also think that it has to be where your community, your parents and your children should have a sense of whether or not their system, their building is actually providing those high quality programs we all want for all kids. You know, the other side of it too is when you think about the amount of state dollars that go towards public education, I think it's the second highest expenditure in our state budget, right behind social services. So there's a lot of investment in our programs. So I think we have a responsibility, a fiscal responsibility, to assure that we are really measuring progress, measuring things that matter, not just their presence or attendance, or whether they've walked across that stage in May, but are they learning and is there growth? So those things, and then the bottom line, Lisa, it's about our kids. We have an opportunity right now in our state because our Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has decided it's time to look to see whether or not the way in which we measure our district's performance, whether or not it's doing or telling the story or being as transparent and we're being as accountable as we possibly can be. So it's three things, right? So it's public opinion. We've got to be more transparent. If we have very successful programs, let's learn from them. If we have programs that are struggling, let's get in there and focus and see what it is and make sure that is doing well and we shore up the deficiencies. The responsibility of our state money, that's got to be there. And then just the job that we all owe to our children to have the best programs possible.
So let me just make sure I'm on the same wavelength here. So are you thinking like we need to consider restricting funding to underperforming schools, or am I off base there?
I think that if we have a system that is not performing and is truly, truly using dollars in a way that is not appropriate, I do think there has to be some accountability there. Now, do I want to just pull the funding right out from under a huge system and just not have school available? That's drastic. But I do think that we need to make sure that if our state dollars are going towards a program, that we have some way of measuring their success and making sure that they are doing the job we ask them to do. I think it's just being responsible.
So in this first hearing, what will it involve?
Well, right now, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has been working for, you know, I can't even tell you how long this has been going on. MSEP, which is the Missouri School Improvement Program, is a program that was back in the day when I was in the classroom. We started off with mastery learning and MSEP 1, where we had a three-day review where we came and did process standards and procedure standards and performance standards and measured. It took just a lot of time and a very complicated way in which that folks would come into a system and look to see whether they're doing the job that they need to do, where the problems were, or where the strengths were. MSEP 1 all the way through M5, MSEP 5 is where we have reiterated different ways of measuring whether or not our schools are doing the job. And so I've experienced all of those, but it's been almost 7 years maybe, and you have to check that for me, Elisa, but it's been a long time since we've actually pulled back, you know, the curtain to see whether or not the way in which we accredit is really doing the job. So what I'm planning on for this particular committee is for the folks who have an interest, our committee members, and want to see what is this new way of accrediting districts And how is DESE deciding what is important to measure and what is the process of accreditation and basically what's going on? Because that is the one tool that we have in our state that is used to say, this is where you need some help, or this is where you guys are knocking the top off of it. Let's make sure that everybody knows what practices are working well here. And it's just something that's very, very important. So one of the reasons that we didn't have the public opinion, the public comment, actually during this very first meeting, is because it's so important for these committee members to get a very good, solid understanding of where we have come from and what is our next step with this MSEP 6, the newest version that will be coming into play, I'd say, within the next year or so.
State Senator Carla Esslinger is the chair of the Missouri Senate Interim Committee on Education. The committee holds its first meeting Monday, and the panel will hear an update on the Missouri School Improvement Program, which is responsible for reviewing and accrediting public school districts in Missouri. What do you think about the work teachers have to do when it comes to, and I may ask this, maybe that's exactly what you're talking about, but I don't know the system well enough to know, so I'm asking this. What do you Sure. think about the work teachers have to do when it comes to, they have certain things that they are working to fulfill with the kids and certain standards and all that when it comes to all of this? How do you feel about that sort of stuff? Does that need to change as well? And is that a part of this?
It is. It has to be a part of this. Everything that we do when it comes to education has to focus on the opportunity for every one of those folks we place in front of kids, our teachers, our building leaders, the ones who are standing in front of the kids, the ones who are doing the actual delivery, everybody else in the system and the system itself, the purpose is for them to be successful. So, you know, you look at all this research and it always says that the one significant factor that will always have the highest impact on student success is the quality of the teacher, the ability of the teacher to get the job done. And so all of this should be focused around how can we assure that our teachers are successful. And so it's not just, here's these standards, here's how we're going to measure it, go get it done, teacher, because we over and over fail our educators that way by not putting the tools and the support around them so they can be successful. It's not a matter of putting it all on the teacher, the educator, the building leader. They have to work as a system and as an organization that truly one benefits the other and one supports the other. So I would be very much concerned if we had a system that just handed all of the responsibility over to the educator, to the teacher. The teacher is the one who delivers and is the one who has direct contact with family, direct contact with the kids. But we, all the rest of the adults in the system, have to make sure they have everything they need to be successful.
Okay. All right. And yeah, the reason I ask that is because every now and then I'll hear a teacher mention how they've got a lot of work when it comes to filling out all that information.
Oh, yeah.
And they sure. wish they could focus more on the classroom. And so that's why I asked that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and actually, Elisa, today with technology, and some of this is best practice. We've seen it over and over. Research will tell you best practice is to collect data throughout the year, be able to have real time. It's not a stop and take a test kind of thing. It's part of the instruction. It's part of the information that the teacher gathers to see where we're at and what to do next. If you can create the data that you look at to accredit, data that you look at to inform practice, and have it all be dovetailed together and not one is one thing and one is the other, then you're not stopping to take a state test. You're just being able to collect data that is currently being collected to inform practice to assure that we have the systems are meeting the mark when it comes to accreditation. And technology allows us to do that. It's a real-time assessment. It's assessment for when the kid is ready and for not when it's May 15th, right? And where they're at the time in their learning. So they feel like they you know, it's more of an informative piece as to what's next instead of just say, did you hit a particular standard?
Okay, so
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does actually, and it seems like so that's a way to streamline the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly. There's groups, and I've met with some very very interesting folks who are excited that we have some opportunity to use the data, because every one of your school systems, your building level systems, will have iterative benchmarks in math and reading and science or whatever it is that they're teaching, to see whether or not the child has mastered that particular component, right, of 2-week time or whatever it is. And then we should be able to bring that data up, capture it, and be able to then inform the state that this is happening. Children are learning. There is growth in learning. And I don't think that we need to just do what the feds require, which is that one-time end-of-year assessment. I think you've got to do that if you want to continue to receive federal dollars, but it shouldn't be the end-all, and it shouldn't be the way in which that we determine whether or not our schools are successful.
Is it a system that would work regardless of size of the school or district?
Yes, every school system will have benchmarks that they use on the local level to inform practice, to inform whether or not the kids are mastering the things they're teaching. So if you could just bring that data up and be able to look at it, because that's, a lot of those pieces of assessments are nationally normed. They are proven to be valid. And they actually measure growth from one point in time to another. It's not just the difference is that we have a standard that says all children need to know this. And then what we should be able to do is say, if a child is below that standard, has not mastered that standard, then what progress are they making towards it? And that progress is growth and learning. And that's what you should hold your districts and your teachers accountable for, not hitting a particular standard, because then your teacher, your system is going to say, I have so much I'm dealing with that walks in my front door. If I can just get them to learn a little bit, I'm successful. But you're telling me we failed as a teacher, as a child, and as a system because we didn't make the mark. Well, I say, show me how much you've learned in that amount of time. That tells me you're making a difference.
Is this more of a competency-based learning sort of system then? Is that what you're referring to?
Uh-huh. It could be. It's very much, it's a way in which you measure a competency-based learning system. Uh-huh.
Okay. Anything else about, in broad strokes, what you maybe foresee in terms of any other potential recommendations or legislation to improve this system? Anything else that you haven't mentioned?
Well, I see an opportunity for us to be able to look at accrediting by building and not just by district, because currently we accredit school systems by district. And as you know, these very large school systems may have some shining stars or some building level buildings that do well. Maybe they have one or two that don't do very well at all. And when you do just a district wide, you don't really have an opportunity to see what's happening in each one of the buildings, but you can provide more resources and support for those who are being challenged. So I like the idea of the building level APR, annual performance report, as well as a district level and not just district. And I think that, and I'm happy to say that is exactly what we're seeing in some of the preliminary work that the department is putting together, is that they are going to be able to collect data and be able to share with their families, with their communities, what's happening per building and not just district-wide, because it kind of gets, you know, gets a little bit muddled that way. You know, and the thing is that I am probably one of the biggest cheerleaders for education. I absolutely love it. I can tell you that I've been blessed with the chance to work with children of all ages, with communities of all sizes, and education is the core. And so if there's a way for me to be able to contribute to and shore up and make sure that every child is successful, every educator is successful, then I'm just happy as a lark. So I love the opportunity to do this kind of work, and always love the opportunity to visit about school.
If you accredit by building as opposed to district, how do you think that could impact the population, like the student population, moving maybe to charters or private schools, anything like that?
Well, I think that if there's a building that is not successful and over time has not been successful and nobody is doing anything about it, that I think people should have the opportunity, and many districts do this, where they open enrollment and be able to move. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I think that it comes to a point where if there's something that is super toxic and we cannot seem to get it fixed, we need to address it and not leave kids there.
Could they go to maybe a different building within that district?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, and the thing is that unless you know there's a problem and more people are aware there's a problem, then probably the problem will continue longer. But if you become aware annually and you know that this is consistently not great, you know, the community will focus. School will always reflect their community, and communities will always reflect their schools. And so if you have the information you need, I think that the local folks there will say, that's not good enough for my children. Let's see what I can do to help.
All right. Well, Monday's committee hearing will be at 10 a.m. in the Senate lounge of the Missouri Capitol. The hearing is open to the public, but public testimony will not be heard Monday. Now, the date for a second hearing, which will include public testimony, will be announced during this first meeting. You can also hear the meeting on senate.mo.gov, or again, you can be there in person. That's Senator Carla Esslinger of Southern Missouri's Wasola. We will be back with more after this. This is Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.